Those of you who live in swing states, we're sorry. We know you hate the political ads that saturate your television, but we want to know if you've noticed anything different in 2012. Ads in places you haven't seen them before, different kinds of ads. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. In Colorado Springs, spending on advertising tripled since 2008. NPR's Ari Shapiro traveled there recently. You may have heard his reports last week, and he joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
And why Colorado Springs?
Well, it's part of Colorado, which is an important swing state this year. Colorado Springs, it's a strange place for this because Republicans outnumber Democrats 2-1. President Obama lost this county to John McCain by 19 points in 2008. Not a swing county. It's a place where everybody expects Mitt Romney to win, but he may or may not win the state of Colorado based on how large a margin he carries Colorado Springs by. It's much cheaper to advertise in a place like Colorado Springs than it is in a place like Denver. And so you have this flood of advertising there, even by the Obama campaign, which knows it can't win Colorado Springs, but hopes it may lose by a little smaller of a margin.
And they've got money, and they got to spend it.
They've got money, and they've got to spend it. That's the thing, is that this year, you have the campaigns and the outside groups with more money than they've ever had before, squeezing that money into a smaller pool of swing states at play. And so you see just an explosion in advertising prices, and an explosion in advertising in places you didn't used to see it, like on cable TV.
Mm-hmm. And you talked to, on your visit, to Missy Evanson as the sales director at the ABC affiliate in Denver.
The thing about a television station, it's finite supply. This is classic economics, right? Supply and demand theory. I've got so many parking spots, it's a race to see who gets them.
So this means that if you want an ad on the local news or an ad on cable TV or anywhere, in fact, there is not an infinite number of spaces available.
Right. I talked to local advertisers who were basically crowded out, and they were going to print or internet or billboard advertising instead. And then I
radio,
talked
perhaps?
Radio, perhaps. There was one advertiser who told me a story about 2008 when a TV spot that typically would have gone for $300 to $500, the station was asking $1,500 for the spot, and at the last minute, a national campaign swooped in and paid $7,000. That was 2008. This year, as you said, in Colorado Springs at least, spending has tripled.
And, of course, one interesting part of your series is that this is a bonanza for the local broadcasters.
It is, but what's strange is that the local broadcasters, as much as they try to plan in two-year intervals, so in the off years they're not going to buy a new satellite truck, they'll do it during election year, the map is unpredictable. So Pennsylvania in 2008 was one of the biggest markets in the country for ad spending. This year, nothing. Wisconsin was seeing no advertising until Mitt Romney added Paul Ryan to the ticket, congressman from Wisconsin. Suddenly, millions of dollars are flowing into Wisconsin. North Carolina was never a swing state until Barack Obama won it in 2008. Now those markets are awash in millions of dollars in ads.
And it's interesting, you can also follow a campaign's expectations by the fact of, well, the Romney campaign pulled out of Michigan. They
right.
stopped spending money a couple of weeks ago.
So we collaborated with the ad tracking from Kantar Media to monitor these ads. And the head of that group told me, you know, in poker they refer to a tell, how you can tell what, you know, what the player actually has in his hand. Well, ad spending is a tell. A campaign may say that a certain state is in play, but if they're not spending the money on advertising in that state, you know they don't actually believe it.
And one of the interesting things is how targeted this advertising is, as you reported, more by the Obama campaign than by the Romney
campaign.
That's
one difference between the Romney and Obama camps, is that while sure both campaigns have Spanish language ads and ads geared towards women, for the most part, the Romney message is a much more universal, I will fix the economy, I will create jobs. Whereas the Obama campaign has, you know, 20 ads running at once across the country, which is an unprecedented number to be running at once. And they target senior citizens, veterans, students, Hispanics, women, just niche targeting with a different message for each group.
And that reflects, in a sense, the kind of voters both campaigns are trying to reach.
That's right. So in my exhaustive research while I was in Colorado, I watched the reality TV program Here Comes Honey Boo Boo on a cable network.
Do you get combat pay for that?
I ought to. I haven't filed for it. But there was the advertising from the Obama campaign that was specifically directed to women. And the thing about advertising on cable is it's much smaller markets, but it's much more targeted markets. So if you want to reach young men, you advertise on Spike TV. If you want to reach women, you advertise on Lifetime. If you want to reach Hispanics, you advertise on Univision.
And then the question becomes, what effect does any of this have?
Well, most people are totally turned off by the ads, but most people have made up their minds who they're going to vote for. You know, the remaining undecided voters are something like 5% 95% of the electorate. And so if you alienate 95% of the electorate, it's not a problem as long as the 95% you're alienating has already made up their minds. And in fact, I spoke to voters, at least one woman who was undecided, who was a small business owner and a woman. She had voted for Barack Obama in 2008, and she told me she was really torn.
Those groups are very different in terms of who they are. And in order to reach them, you have to go to different places, particularly when you're talking about television advertising. They're very discreet audiences.
I'm sorry, we played the wrong kind of tape there. I apologize for that. But that was Tad Devine.
Right. Tad Devine, a Democratic advertising consultant, talking about how you target the niche markets. But this woman in Colorado Springs who I spoke with said, as a business owner, she was very concerned about the Democrats' policies of taxing and regulation. And as a woman, she was very concerned about the Republicans' policies regarding women's health. And those are both the messages that the Republican and Democratic parties have been targeting at her as a small business owner who is also a woman. And they were clearly reaching her, and she wasn't able to make up her mind who she'd vote for this time.
And those are the campaigns. Then there are the wild cards, the super PACs that are running ads.
Yeah, and you know, the narrative was because of unfettered spending this year, the super PACs would rule the day. In my experience, that turned out not to necessarily be the case. The Obama campaign is vastly outspending the Romney campaign in many of these markets, and the conservative outside groups are helping to close that gap somewhat so that liberal and conservative spending more or less equals out. For various reasons, the outside groups have to pay higher rates to advertise in the same markets that the campaigns are advertising in. So you've got, you know, all of these massive players in the market, and as best I can tell, it is just sort of an arms race where everyone amps up more and more and more.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. And those of you who live in swing states, we know you hate the ads. What are you noticing that's different? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. We'll start with Mike, and Mike's on the line from Little Rock. Not aware that Arkansas is considered a swing state, Mike.
No, but I took the liberty of calling anyways because it is an interesting state in the fact that it's had a strange history of going back and forth between dominant parties. I'm not originally from Little Rock, but I'm seeing something I've never seen before this early in the election. People are actually chalking the window of their cars, you know, like you would for homecoming in a high school. They're actually already putting up, you know, Romney 2012, Obama 2012 on the windows of their cars, kind of a grassroots movement. And it's free for the politician, too. So I don't see how it could get any more contested in this election.
Well, right. So the advertising does not exist in a bubble. It's connected to the ground game, the, you know, thousands and thousands of volunteers fanning out across the country, the mailings, the fundraising. It's all integrated as part of this massive campaign that is, you know, national in name, but in practice really just playing out in 8 or 9 states.
And
right. And then also in other markets where I have seen, you know, a non-mercantilistic model of actually pursuing votes, my spam inbox in my Gmail has just been barraged with, you know, appeals for votes. Just fantastic because there's an unlimited number of emails you can send someone.
I think spammers have figured that out. Nigerian princes have worked this out before. But Mike, thanks very much for the call. Here's an email from Shaylin. I only watch TV online. Every other or 2 out of every 3 ads that air on Hulu are political ads. I went out of state to Michigan and noticed a difference in the number of presidential race ads on Hulu, markedly less.
Yeah, I'm seeing ads in places I've never seen them before. It's funny, I was, you know, using Twitter in Colorado, tweeting about what I was finding, and I'm sure I used the words Obama and Romney. I'm now finding promoted ads in my Twitter feed about Obama and Romney in Colorado, where those campaigns, or at least the outside groups, have paid for advertising there and on Hulu. And even in video games, you can be playing a racing game and a billboard will go by that says, vote for my candidate. So it's not just TV.
Let's go next to Victoria. And Victoria's on the line with us from Cincinnati, which most assuredly Ohio is a swing state.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the air.
Go ahead.
My comment, I guess, was just I've noticed, especially in my area, there's a lot of morality with the political ads. And I'm really honestly motivated me to get my friends to get out and vote. The one that I want to talk about the most was we've been getting a lot of mailings. I got a documentary in the mail. And it says the real story about Obama, and it's called My Real Father. And
oh, Dreams from My Real Father. Yes, this is a documentary that purports, alleges that Obama's father was not his father, but rather that he was the child of a Marxist poet. Absolutely no substance to this whatsoever. But in any case, this is making the rounds. Go ahead, Victoria.
It's sad. I watched the beginning of it with my husband, and it's really brought us out to go out and try to get our friends to get involved. And what I hear from a lot of them is that, well, it's all just lies anyway. Everyone's just the same. And it's spurred a lot of conversation. Like, I know on 75, a common highway, there's a sign that says, Obama believes in gay rights abortion. Do you? And it's incited a lot of conversation with my friends. And I think these type of ads push away from the issues and push people to make personal judgments.
That speaks to something else that we found in Colorado, according to the advertising data that Kantar Media CMAG collected for us. There were 1,500 ads broadcast in Colorado Springs in the span of a week. And out of those 1,500 ads, 50 were positive. That is to say, 97% of the TV ads were negative. You know, people always say this is the biggest year, this is the most negative year, but this year it's so much worse than anyone has seen before. It's really eye-popping.
Victoria, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
We're talking with Ari Shapiro, NPR White House correspondent. He's with us here in Studio 3A about political advertising. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And this from Julie. I live in Ohio. I'm amazed at how targeted the radio ads are. The 80s pop station has ads specifically for middle-aged women on health issues. Hip-hop stations have the youth gotta vote ads. And African-American talk radio has its own ads. Sometimes I don't even realize till the end that they're all Obama ads.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, as we mentioned, the Obama campaign is doing much more targeted advertising. And the reason, as one ad analyst explained to me, is that in this election, the economy is something of an albatross around President Obama's neck. And to overcome that, he has to cobble together this very different coalition, you know, women and Latinos and well-educated white voters and African-Americans and young people. Those constituent groups have different concerns, whereas the Romney campaign believes everybody needs a job. Everybody is suffering in this Obama economy. That's the message we have to hammer home.
Let's go to Alexandra. Alexandra with us from Miami.
Hi there. Thank you so very much for taking your call.
You're welcome. And Florida, also a swing state, most definitely.
Absolutely. And I don't know how many of your listeners are my age group, but I am 22. So, of course, I am constantly on Facebook like anyone else. And I've noticed, like, astonishingly, there are so many targeted advertisements on Facebook, not necessarily directly from the candidates, but from super PACs. And I guess, I don't know how they're finding out, but I do actually, you know, quote-unquote, like a lot of feminist pages and women's rights pages. And I've been noticing, again, Obama ads that are from super PACs in regards to women's rights and things like that.
Well, you know, I went to the Romney and Obama campaigns, and the Obama campaign was much more closed off, saying, we'll discuss our analytics and how we do this targeting after the election. You know, we'll do all of the play-by-play, but we don't want to pull back the curtain right now. It will be interesting to see where they're getting their demographic data from, how they're using it, how extensively they're parsing it, and what exactly it is that leads them to target this ad towards this person on Facebook instead of on the radio, as opposed to this place instead of that place. Certainly the fact that you have liked on Facebook these various women's and feminist groups is, you know, an easy opening for them to target you as somebody who might be swayed by those kinds of arguments.
Alexandra, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
And listener in Florida, Erin, here in Florida, the commercials are running back-to-back. She emailed us, even my young kids can identify them. Ari, doesn't the president have a joke about that?
Consistent joke in his stump speech. He talks about his friends who have a four-year-old who pointed to the picture of the president, and his friend said, who is that? And the four-year-old said, that's Barack Obama. And the friend said, and what does he do? And the four-year-old said, he approves this message.
We are 2 days away from the first debate. You're going out to Denver?
We'll be flying out to Denver on Wednesday, yes.
How anticipated is this? You've mostly obviously been covering the White House and then the Obama campaign.
Right, right. Well, I've spent a lot of time with both. And the fact is right now Mitt Romney is behind in the polls, which means a tie is not good enough for him in this debate. So he has been working really, really hard to pull out a decisive win. Everyone acknowledges that he has to do that, which in some ways makes it more exciting, because if this race were really neck and neck, then you might see two people who are really playing it safe. The fact that Mitt Romney has to overcome a serious and growing gap with President Obama in the polls means we're going to be looking for some sort of whatever the baseball metaphor is, I turn to you, Neil, that would cause him to win the game.
A long ball, perhaps.
A long ball,
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Let's see if we get one more caller in. This is Sharon. Sharon with us from Greensboro, North Carolina. As Ari mentioned, definitely a swing state.
Hi, I'm Sharon.
I'm 25, so I recently heard on my Pandora, a radio station on the internet radio, a Romney ad. I think I was really surprised to hear Romney rhetoric being thrown into my musical selection.
If I may ask, what was the Pandora station? What kind of music was Romney targeting?
I don't remember, but, I think my stations are similar to many of those in my age group.
And was the message targeted to young people specifically?
It wasn't, but it was, interestingly enough, it was very, it was a positive ad, sort of inspiring.
Also very unusual.
Yeah, strange, but yeah. No,
Sharon, thanks very much. That's interesting information. Appreciate it.
Sorry.
So ads on Pandora, and I assume that the verdict will not be delivered on the debate over Spinmeisters and in the spin room, but on Twitter during the broadcast.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the new things about this election cycle is that you have reporters tweeting out speeches as the candidates are giving them and saying, oh, that was a really good line, or that line fell flat, or that was a gaffe. And by the time the speech is over, there's already a verdict on it in social media.
We'll be listening with interest. Ari Shapiro, thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure joining you.
White House correspondent Ari Shapiro with us here in Studio 3A. You can find his reports on political ads in Colorado Springs at npr.org. Tomorrow, David Greene guest hosts, and we'll talk about how Russia is looking to recapture some lost ground along its borders. I'll be back on Wednesday with the political junkie from St. Louis, Missouri. We'll see you then. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.